Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Mr. Fryer, let's duck, duck, go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Thank you so much for spending part of your Friday with me. It looks like the weather is going to be better over the next 7 days, which is great. I was having a conversation with my work wife, Kenzie Kay, about that. We were talking about sunshine and the effect that it has on people. So hopefully there'll be a little bit more sun later on today and throughout the week. And you can melt some of that snow and all that good stuff. Want to tell you how all this started. Oh, if you're not on Twitch right now, you can watch the show on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. I'll be inside of the Twitch chat if you guys want to continue to talk Bulls or anything else that you want to throw at me that I deem that I'm going to respond to. twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. I wanted to give you some background on what I'm going to play for you. Kevin Egan works for the WWE, okay? He's doing a great job. I smile every time I see him. On television, we used to work together over at 120 Sports. He was our soccer expert, and he still does soccer analysis and for Atlanta United, and he's done stuff for Sirius XM soccer, like all of that stuff. I did an interview with him for House of L. It'll come out in a few weeks on House of L, and it's a wide-ranging interview. And Mitch and I kind of figured out this deal where if there's something that I think is good from House of L, I can bring it to the score and vice versa. And I think this is good. I don't get a chance to talk soccer a lot. I expect that we might talk a little bit more of it if things continue to go sideways with baseball, which is a point that I end up making in this part of the conversation with Kevin. But I just really like him. And he's a Chicago dude. Partly, like you'll hear the Irish accent, you'll hear his brogue when he talks, but he spent a lot of time in Chicago, and he's a guy that I just enjoy talking to about soccer. So if you're a soccer enthusiast, this segment is for you. You don't have to be a soccer enthusiast to enjoy it, but if you still want to get off some thoughts on soccer or football or what's going on with baseball or the Bulls, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. I'll be in the chat while you're listening to something that's already been recorded, but you've never heard. So this is me talking soccer with my friend Kevin Egan. Check it out. The way that you talk about the game, and when we started working together, I was probably midway through my voyage of being someone that covered football, American football, to learning to love soccer. And now yeah. I'm there. You know, I joke with you all the time about my horrible feelings about Arsenal. I'm now there when it comes to having a team, loving the game, appreciating the game. But for a long time, And there's still an uphill battle, I think, in America. It's getting better. Like, people are picking their EPL team. They have their MLS team. They care about the national team.
Can I jump in?
Sure.
I think that's part of the problem with the game that we love now. Like, to be honest with you, in this country, there is an issue with the fact that there's such great coverage of so many leagues. And that sounds ridiculous to say, but hear me out. NFL, 100% of the pie. NHL, MLB, NBA. You have 100% of the pie of the greatest property in the world. With soccer, all of a sudden, you've got, you know, a network like, say, NBC have the Premier League, right? The Premier League are probably competing for 30, 35, 40% of that pie, the entire pie. You've got the Champions League now on CBS competing for a big slice. Those do cross over now. Yesterday, NBC are on air with Premier League games. Like, Liverpool are on yesterday while the Champions League are on, and Chelsea are playing, or Manchester United are playing yesterday against Atletico Madrid. That's a problem for the game in a way. It's a good thing too. However, you have the tribalism for different leagues. You've got love for different leagues. You've got MLS fans who just will not cross over to anything else. You've got Premier League fans more so that will not cross over to support Major League Soccer. So the big issue here is that television generates a huge interest and it generates an awful lot of money for these leagues. And I just hope that the investment is there long term from, let's say, for example, a CBS. Paramount Plus recently spent an awful lot of money to take on the Serie A rights. They're doing a phenomenal job of covering the Italian league. Phenomenal. They're sending their commentators over often on trips. The studio coverage, they've got the likes of Christian Vieri and certain class former Italian national team guys on their coverage. Their studio presence is brilliant. I love the guys they have covering the league. And I love everything about it. However, my big fear is that in a couple of years' time, CBS executives are going to look at this and go, whoa, we're spending a lot of money on this, but what are our ratings like? And I don't know how much they're going to improve, because while NFL has 100% of the pie and you've got your big game on a Monday night, for example, with soccer, you've got all these different leagues on at the same time, and they're all competing for that slice of the pie, and it's very tough.
So is there a solution here in your mind?
Well, the solution would be the European Super League, which I hate. And that's the one thing that, you know, everybody came down on that. However, that would be the one thing that you'd say, OK, well, you'll have all the top teams in the world in this one league. And you know, one network's going to pay mega, mega, mega money for it. And everybody's going to watch it. However, that takes away from what is so special about the beautiful game. And that is that parochial, that local element to, you know, teams around the world and what they mean to that area and what it means to play against, for example, Manchester United to travel 30 minutes down the road and play against a Burnley, a tiny little club, you know, that have stayed in the Premier League. It's a great story. Eibar, a great story in La Liga for so long. You get the likes of, you know, teams like Siena, Salernitana, for example, in Serie A. So soccer's special for so many reasons. I just think in the US, that is the biggest challenge in my mind. Many people would give other challenges. I just know that when there's so many leagues all competing at once and their games are on at the same time and they're all on different networks, they're each going to take away from each other. Therefore, the ratings will never, like when NBC released their ratings or Serie A released their ratings on Paramount Plus, they're never going to be as high as what people will want.
You know what's funny? I did a segment on my show today where I was talking about baseball. And I was talking about how baseball's in a lockout. They're probably not going to start on time as you and I are recording this. And I kept thinking, like, where are my sports eyes going to go if baseball's not here? Like, I'm someone who grew up, I love baseball. It's my favorite thing. It's probably the same. My feeling for baseball is your same as soccer. And I was sitting there, and soccer didn't cross my mind. Like, I know that where I am on Saturdays and Sunday mornings, I'm up at 6 o'clock watching what's going on in the Premier League. But I didn't think about like the MLS as being something that has an opportunity. I'm trying to figure out how can they take advantage if baseball doesn't start on time of really getting a couple of eyes put on them.
It's tough because you're still competing against other big leagues. However, you'd hope that by winning you over, for example, you're the perfect guy that over time soccer has grown a place in your heart, right? And it's won you over to a certain extent. So you'd hope that by flicking it on and you see maybe a Shaqiri balling for Chicago, that you'll go, yeah, you know what? I need to go out to Soldier Field and go catch a game soon. Like, that's a fun team to watch. The MLS, I'll say this, the games are often wild. The games are fun. I love Major League Soccer. I think Major League Soccer is a massive future. A part of that is because of the financial security of the league, the owners backing. It's unlike any other league in the world in that it's a single entity ownership like the NFL, for example. And with that comes security. There's players not being paid in South America, all over South America. Brazil is doing quite well financially with their league right now. But in Argentina, guys want to leave the clubs. Guys want to leave big clubs, and Major League Soccer is a destination. So you're getting an awful lot of top class players that can come to the US and make sure that they're in nice cities and they're being paid. And there's a lot to be said for that. And with that, then it percolates through and the quality on the pitch is better. MLS is also at a point where clubs are starting to really grow their identities. You've got a club like Toronto, for example, that take on big, big stars, and they want bigger names. So they're taking Lorenzo Insigne, who's an Italian national team player from Napoli, to play for Toronto, and he's joining in the summer. That's a massive signing, one of the best signings in league history. Whereas Atlanta United, where I'm based down here in Atlanta, their model is to go after the bright, young South American superstar, someone who's going to be a big, big name, to try and get a guy like Thiago Almada, who was maybe the best player in the league over the past year or two, from Argentina and bring him in. They spent $16 million on him, and he may go and sign for an Arsenal or a Spurs or someone else in a couple of years' time. And MLS is comfortable enough within its own skin right now to be that development league, if you like, for Europe for now, until it continues to grow. And I think it will continue to grow, but it doesn't take a year or two. It takes a long, long time. So, and they'll still have that competition with the European leagues, which is always tough.
So do you think that the international reputation of the MLS is going in the right direction?
Oh, yeah, 100%. More and more people, the more people I speak with, I know myself, I started covering Major League Soccer, broadcasting it in 2012, was my first game with the Chicago Fire. And we did the game. The game was in Montreal. This will tell you everything about it. The match was in Montreal at the Olympic Stadium. We broadcasted the match from the NASCAR studios in Charlotte because it saved a book. That's where we were at then. Now I'm going to packed Mercedes-Benz Stadium with 70,000 people going to the games in Atlanta. The fan base in Atlanta is absolutely wild. Just a raucous atmosphere at a phenomenal stadium. Charlotte are coming through now, and already the opening game, they'll have 75,000 people at the opening game at their NFL stadium that they'll play the soccer at too. It's not growing in markets like Chicago at the pace that it has in others. But part of that falls on the Fire ownership over the past, 15 years or so, because the Fire got off to a great start and just let it dwindle. It's getting there. It's going to take time, but I do believe in Major League Soccer long term.
Let me take Atlanta out of it. Where's a place in America that you love to go to watch soccer?
There's lots. Like, go to Portland, because Portland, you can have that experience of having a beer in town, walking with your friends to the stadium, and the atmosphere is up there amongst the very best in the whole league. They hosted MLS Cup and the atmosphere was incredible. New York City went and won there in Portland on penalties. But Portland's just a great experience. The Seattle fan base, same deal. That CenturyLink Field, they can walk from town. And that's always something I like, because when the stadium's in the middle of nowhere, you can have your tailgate and you can have all that. But when it's near town and you can have that experience of getting off a train and walking with your family or your friends to a game, that's just special. So that you have that in Atlanta, Portland, Seattle. Austin's a cool vibe. Matthew McConaughey's the owner there, and he's made sure that there's something special about Austin. And there's lots of different, this is what I'm saying about identity, like the culture up in Minnesota is incredible right now. The songs that they sing, the stadium, there's been 5 soccer-specific stadiums built in the last 3 or 4 years in Major League Soccer. So I like the direction it's going.
Yeah, it seems like Kansas City, like as a soccer city in America, has really grown into a thing.
Yeah, up there, it's a bit off the beaten track, the stadium, though. In terms of stadium location, I do think it matters. And that's not the best, but the atmosphere and the playing surface there. Like, I don't like the AstroTurf. Atlanta has AstroTurf. Portland has AstroTurf. Give me natural grass for the aesthetics of watching a game. The game is far more enjoyable to watch, I think. Ball skips off the surface in a different way, much better for the players when it's natural grass.
Internationally, what's a place that, as travel kind of loosens up over the next, hopefully, over the next 6 months, internationally, what's a place that you would say, if you really want to experience soccer, go here?
For me, in my experience, Barcelona. And I was very fortunate. I covered La Liga for years with beIN Sports, and I was sent several times to El Clasico, the meaning of Barcelona and Real Madrid. The best soccer rivalry in the world for me. I got to experience it at its very best when you've got the Messi against Ronaldo, you've got Neymar against Karim Benzema, you know, and Andres Iniesta on the field, Luka Modric. And those battles that I got to witness hosting from the sideline were just exceptional. The other thing about it is there's the unique feeling of these gladiators walking out onto the field as the opera plays. You know, like we're used to with sports here in this country and over in Ireland, it's the exact same way, like Franz Ferdinand playing and they're walking out, you know, this kind of pump up music. Over there, you'd have Plácido Domingo and you'd have opera singers as these players walk slowly out onto the pitch. And there's such a sensational feel about that. It's not so much like a drinking culture at all. You have your coffee beforehand and you go enjoy a local breakfast and go watch a game. And it's just a real, true, authentic football feel.
That was me and Kevin Egan. There's a lot more of that interview. It'll be on House of L, my podcast that I do, because we didn't even get to the WWE part and how Kevin found himself as the sideline reporter for WWE. So in a couple of weeks, that whole episode will be out and you can hear it. I do a podcast. It's called House of L. I talk with people about their lives in media and how they got to where they are. Some good episodes that are up there. You should check them out for sure. I'm glad that Kevin gave us a little bit of time on the podcast and so that people could hear some soccer talk on The Score. When we come back, more about the Bulls and Bulls ownership and what they're willing to do to try to make this team a championship club. That's next here on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
It's time for the 2-minute report. 2 minutes.
What?
Not one, but two.
Oh, say less.
It's time for the 2-minute report on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
Can't wait. Near the rim, controlled by the Bulls, throws it to the rack, and a right-handed power dunk. Oh, my goodness. That was nasty. Kobe off the screen from Thompson, pick and roll. Thompson to the rack, and a two-handed slam dunk. Pick and roll. Tristan Thompson, welcome to the Bulls. Rebound down the floor. DeRozan to Green with a right-handed power dunk right in the mug of Kevin Herter. Timeout, Atlanta. To Vooch, left quarter, Ayo for three. Bulls Ayo.
It wasn't the prettiest play. The ball was knocked around on the floor, but Vooch is able to get it to Ayo, and Ayo nails it.
To go to Thompson on a post-up against DeLon Wright on an ISO. Spins, double on the ball with an up and under, and a two-handed slam. Tristan Thompson and this crowd on their feet. They love the big man. DeRozan against Bogdanovich. Steps back, 18-footer. Yes! Big-time shot for a big-time player, DeMar DeRozan. 108-107. Atlanta throws it foul line left. Got it! Count it! Foul! DeMar DeRozan with the hoop, the horn, and one! DeMar DeRozan has 36, looking for more, and the Bulls lead 109-108 with 15 seconds left. Comes up shooting, 21-footer left wing, no. Ball game over. Bulls win! Bulls win! Bulls win!
21,000 people was on their feet tonight when I hit this shot, you know. But in the moment, I really don't think about it. I just try to, you know, concentrate as best I can, get a bucket. You love it and you hate it, you know. Of course, you don't want to be down and have the pressure on yourself to try to pull out a game, but when you're in those moments, you gotta, you know, you gotta take it on. I love the moments. I love the challenge. I love the opportunity. You know, it's fun. It's fun to me.
Smooth criminal, man. Devo, man, is one hell of a player, man. He's playing lights out right now.
And we enjoy seeing DeMar DeRozan do what he's doing. Highlights courtesy of The Score. Chuck and Bill on the call as the Bulls win. They fight back after having a nice lead, but they fight back and beat Atlanta in this stretch of six games coming out of the All-Star break that are going to be difficult for the Bulls. Next up, Ja in Memphis on Saturday. We will have the game here on The Score. You heard me talking earlier about DeMar and his game. I love how even as a scorer, as this team's kind of resident scorer, he's unselfish with the basketball. As strange as that sounds, it ends up being the truth. I brought up the Bulls Talk podcast earlier this week because he had the great interview with Io before the All-Star break. Well, Casey Johnson has done it again. This time he got Michael Reinsdorf on record. And Michael doesn't do a lot of interviews. I've talked to him a couple times. He's actually, when the Bulls came to The Score, he made it a point to kind of come here and meet everyone. And I thought he was very nice to play basketball with him. He invited a bunch of media members to play full court. Obviously, he was getting the Obama treatment when we played. You know what I'm saying, Brandon?
I know what you're talking about.
You know how, you
playing
know,
nice.
Yeah, Obama's out here playing ball and thinking that he was crushing. But it's because, like, you the president, so I can't, like, foul you.
Yeah, and other people setting screens for him and
yeah,
stuff.
You know, guys with guns and whatnot out here setting screens. It's the same thing with Michael Reinsdorf. Like, he invited it over to the Advocate Center, and, you know, he got some buckets. But it's like, what's Joe Cowley going to do? Joe Cowley going to foul you hard? Probably not. Oh, look at how the lane opened up for Michael Reinsdorf in this pickup game.
Can Joe hoop?
Joe's really good. He's really good. Like, he's a maniac. Like, he does his man bun, and he plays for real. Like, he's out here playing for keeps.
I want to see the man bun now.
Darnell's pretty good, too. In a game where it was just like us, it would have been... But, like, Bill Winnington was playing and stuff. Like, I got screened by Bill. That wasn't fun at all.
Was Bill on Michael's team?
Yeah, of course he was.
Makes sense.
Like, Sean Respert played in that game. Like, this, it's unfair. Like, that's not going to work. But Cowley is an assassin, man. Like, he's a good player. Goff's a good player. Like, Goff's like a freight train. You can try and draw a charge if you want. No, thank you. KC actually, like, played. Like, he played for real. Like, KC played against Ben Wilson. So, KC is, like, legit baller. I think he even played college ball.
Shout out to Eugene from the Bigs. He can hoop.
Oh, Eugene's good at everything. Eugene's good on the basketball court. And if you want to stand in the batter's box against Gene, good luck. Good luck. Is he the first black starting pitcher of Mount Carmel? I think that's right. I think that's the truth, that he was the first black starting pitcher there.
Jack of all trades, man, Eugene.
Yep. And young Anthony Gill can play. But, okay, so here's what happened. I'll just tell a story before we hear from Michael Reinsdorf. So Michael invites us over. We play ball. We get a chance to talk to him. He gets to know us a little bit. I thought it was like a really good... Like, as far as, like, outreach goes to media, that's a good way to do it. Now, obviously, not everyone owns the Advocate Center and could invite. Like, they literally, like, let us get dressed in the locker room. Like, the whole nine yards is pretty great. I said to Tony at the time, he's now Anthony, hey, man, this is one of those things where we're not going 100%, except for Cali, who's always going 100%. I said, do you really want to get hurt in this game? Like, just have fun, play, but just realize that Bill Winnington's out here, Sean Russ, like, you're not going to get signed. Like, Michael's not going to sign you from seeing you play in this pickup game.
He was like prep talking himself, like, yo, I'm about to go out here and drop 40.
Tony was a starting point guard on a like really good high school team. He was team captain. Like, he's a good player. Also, at the time, Tony was part-time at the Score, so he didn't have insurance. That was the bigger issue. Like, and what happened? He went 100% and tore up his knee. But we had a good time. And it's nice when you get ownership to speak on the record about things. Now, it's great. The Bulls are 39-21. They have far exceeded expectations of everyone. The Bulls Talk podcast is terrific. The aforementioned Anthony Gill does a good job of sending out all of it and putting it together. Casey is obviously great. You know how I feel about Jay. And shout out to Rob Schaefer, too, who does a tremendous job over there covering the Bulls and analyzing the NBA. This is a couple of minutes of Michael Reinsdorf talking about how the Bulls got to this point and what he's willing to get them to go farther.
It wasn't a philosophical change from myself or my father, per se. Like, the way John and Gar oversaw the basketball operations, it was up to them to hire everyone and the number of people they wanted in the front office and how many scouts, how many who they wanted in player development and all that. And I think that when Arturis came on board, one of the things that we talked about was player development. I knew that we were lacking in player development. It was pretty obvious. It was probably pretty obvious to you. And we hired a ton of new people. So there's a lot of people in in player development side that are always working with the players. We added some scouts. We increased our basketball operations staff. We didn't go crazy. Some teams have so many people and they overdo it. And there's just too many people, but we clearly have grown as an organization. And so you're right. Little things, like the roster size and what you said about the biannual and just overall staff. That's stuff that we're doing now, but it's not anything that we wouldn't have been willing to do before. We just, this is just a Turris and Mark decision. And this is what they want to do. And it makes sense. So, we're going to spend the money because you have to invest in your team. You have to invest and player development has changed so much over the years and it's so important. And I think a lot of the success of someone like Io is part of it is player development, working with him every day, getting him ready. So when injuries happen to Lonzo and Alex, and Io is able to step up. I mean, obviously Io's success is because of Io himself, but it does help to have player development there to help him. So we're not afraid to spend the money.
So logical follow-up, are you willing to pay the luxury tax to compete for a championship?
Absolutely. I mean, all you have to do is go back and look at the last number of championship teams. How many of them were in the luxury tax? Like, with the nature of the NBA and having a soft cap, if you want to compete for championships, you have to be willing to spend into the tax. I think most people will tell you, I don't want to spend into the tax if we're not competing for championships, if we're not good enough. I don't want to be the eighth seed or, out of the playoffs and, going into the luxury tax. But when it comes to a team like this, and if we can take the necessary steps to, next year that allows us to compete for a championship, then for sure we'll go into the tax. It's part of the nature of the NBA.
Uh-huh. You know what's great about that? The lack of hesitation. Would you be willing to go into the luxury tax? Yes, absolutely. That's what you want to hear ownership say. You don't want to hear some kind of convoluted, get around the question type answer. He goes on to clarify, look, if we're talking about championship level team, then yes, I'm going to spend and it's okay to go into the luxury tax. I'm not going into the luxury tax for a team that's holding on to a spot in the play-in tournament. But I think as a Bulls fan, you should be encouraged by that being the approach. And it's interesting because to be good at running a team from like the managing ownership level, you have to be both hands-on and hands-off. It's hands-on in saying something's wrong here. We need to change it. Then when you make your decision on who the change makers are, in this case, it's Acme, you bring them in and you say, now I get to be hands-off. The basketball operation is in good hands with Arturis Karnišovas and with Mark Eversley. So I'm going to get out of their way. I'm going to allow them as the managing partner in the ownership to be the person to say, we need to expand our basketball operations department. We need to expand our player development department because you're lacking. What does that sound like to you? It should sound like what happened with the Cubs when Theo and Jed came here. The stories are hilarious. Back in, was it 2011? Cubs scouts didn't have smartphones. They were still literally writing out reports. So there wasn't great sharing that was going on between the folks that were in the front office and the folks that were on the road. They had the smallest baseball operation department, especially for a big market team. And then there was investment. There ended up being great success for the Cubs. There's a similarity in, oh, there are things that the Bulls need as an organization that weren't readily available. You hire the right people and they say, hey, this is what I need to get done. Since I'm doing cross sports analysis, my hope is that the Bears are in a place now where George can now be hands off until Ryan says, I need some money for this guy. And here's why. And here's my case. But if you're a Bulls fan, you should be encouraged by that. These numbers are interesting too. It's so funny that this came out. While we were playing the cut of Michael, I was watching Twitter and Awful Announcing did a story on NBA ratings, television ratings. Here are the top five markets for local markets, like not the games that are on ESPN or TNT, but what the local broadcast on television, usually cable, is doing. These are the top five: Golden State, Cleveland, Philly, Milwaukee, Chicago. The Bulls are up 83% in viewership from last year. That's what happens. Team gets good, people get interested. Mitch had come to me, so I do transition from the update studio, and he walked in. He's like, remember how we were looking at the numbers for the Bulls games when they first got to the Bulls? Because I was the nighttime host when the Bulls first got here. And it was funny that even though the Bulls were terrible, the numbers were really good, like super, like higher than you would ever imagine. This is part of the reason this can be a bigger topic for later. It's part of the reason that sports is such a desirable programming choice in radio and television, because even if it's just on, people tend to gravitate towards it. So when the Bulls got to the Score, they had huge numbers, and then, you know, it tailed off because the team wasn't very good. And he showed me the numbers for this season, and they're out of this world. So please keep listening to Chuck and Bill here. You can get the radio call of the games right here on the Score. But I'm not surprised. Like, this fan base has just been sitting here waiting. They've been sitting here like, man, I can't watch my team. It's been a half a decade when you felt like you couldn't watch your team. And now they're in first place in the Eastern Conference, and people kind of have come back in droves, which is good. And hopefully what you're hearing Michael Reinsdorf say in his interview with the Bulls Talk podcast is true. And if there are improvements to be made that just need his okay from a money standpoint because he trusts the guys to do all the basketball stuff, then so be it. Back after this on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
I don't ordinarily like being the person who piles on to a situation, but maybe Fred Hoiberg can't coach. I remember thinking when he was here with the Bulls that they didn't have the right personnel to run the system that he wanted, and I wondered how big a deal that was in trying to figure out whether or not he could coach. And well, since then, he's been in Nebraska for 3 years, and his record as the Nebraska head coach is 21-65. Would you be interested in knowing what his record inside the Big Ten is? Okay, 6-47. So Nebraska decided that he should come back for year 4 of the Fred Hoiberg experience. And this is how crazy the money is in college athletics. They restructured Fred's deal. And the restructuring of the deal was that his buyout would go from $18.5 million to $11 million. The coach that's 21-65 and 6-47, if he has to go midway through next year, he's only going to walk away with $11 million more and not $18.5 million. Forget about telling your kids to get into be a left-handed reliever. Tell them to start coaching. Start getting coaching internships immediately, because you can get paid forever and a day and have just your buyout reduced when you're 21-65 and 6-47 in the Big Ten. Wow. Talk with Parkins and Spiegel next here on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.